We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You can see why he's a major part of their coverage, as you know, they get, you know, they have the wild card game and obviously the league championship series for the NL.
Has that kind of Tony Romo energy about him? Like, you can just tell he just lives baseball the way Tony Romo lives football.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. He wrapped a couple $100 bills around a ball. I mean, you know what? Like, I'd like to think if I were a pro athlete, I would have fun with stuff like that, you know, just interacting. And I mean, that's the one thing I remember going to spring training years back, JD. And the atmosphere like 15 years ago back, 20 years ago at this point, but you know, the players were accessible. And I remember talking to Tony Gwynn as he was playing right field for the Padres. And we were playing this game with Gwynn. We would shout players' names to him and ask him if he thought they were a Hall of Famer or not, and he would give a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or like a shaky. And so, you know, we would just, Kent Herbeck, thumbs down, you know. And Don Mattingly, and he'd give the shake of the hand. It was, you know, that kind of stuff's fun.
You're listening. He's at all. He was an all-timer, man. That was, good story.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Station. It's all sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Hey, what kind of crowd do you think they'll have out there at Oracle tonight, JD? I know they drew extremely well against the Dodgers. You know, this week, a couple 20,000s, 20,000-plus. But I get the sense that it's really for real now, and Giants fans, I mean, you can see the end of the tunnel. There's 2 weeks left. Can they go 10-5? Will that do? What do they need to do? What do they need to do to win the division, do you think?
I think it's 11-4, 12-3.
Wow.
Probably 12-3 to be sure.
Wow.
Probably 12-3 to ensure a tie. Because then you're talking. You go 12-3. They got to go 13. They'd have to go 14-1 to beat you, and I don't think the Dodgers go 14-1 to beat you outright. So you go 12-3. Maybe they go 13-2, and if they do, you're in a one off. And then if they can't quite go 13-2, if they match your 12-3, then you win it outright. And then again, it's all you get for winning it outright is a very strong likelihood that you're going to see him again in 5 days.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at both team schedules coming home. 15 games for both teams. They both have the same days off the next two Mondays, so they're going to be playing every single game from now on the same day as the other team. The Giants, 9 home, 6 away. LA, 6 home, 9 away. So that would seem to favor the Giants. So the Giants have 3 versus Atlanta, then 3 at San Diego, 3 at Colorado, then they have 3 against the Diamondbacks, and they finish up at home against the Padres. So the Giants, JD, and this is interesting, the Giants with the Padres 6 more times, and I remember you and I were talking a couple weeks back about the Giants, how they're finishing the season, and you said, tell you what, don't sleep on the Giants having to go to Colorado 6 times. And at that point, Colorado was playing tremendous at home. Well, the Giants went in there and swept them. But they still have to go back there one more time. I think if you look at the Dodgers, you know, they got Cincinnati this weekend, Colorado, Arizona, San Diego. But the interesting thing, to my way of thinking, is the Dodgers finish up with Milwaukee. That might not mean anything to the Brewers. They may be, you know, setting up their stuff by Sunday, the last game of the season, and they'll probably have the division wrapped up. So, what do you think? You know, that's a wild card, that last series.
The one thing about that is we do know that Milwaukee is going to play Milwaukee's going to know on Sunday that they're going to play Friday, and
right.
So they're going to have 4 days off. And I think a lot of 4 days off is probably you can get your guys that need a rest,
right,
and still play your guys in that Sunday game, and maybe even pitch your guy that's going to be your game one starter on Friday, because that would be the normal. You may even pitch, even if you only let him go through the lineup one time. Now, it might not be, you're not going to let him go eight and try and really, you know, really empty the tank, but you might still let him start if he's somebody that likes to get in that routine. Certainly he would start the Saturday game, if not the Sunday game, but it would be treated, I think, a little bit more like guys are getting their work in, as opposed to you're really grinding to make sure you can get every win, and that could give the Dodgers a little bit of a benefit.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, they're not really going to have to. They can do anything they want in that situation.
Anybody that's banged up is gonna probably not play. But if you're not banged up, you don't want guys getting six, seven days off before you're playing the biggest games of your life.
I would think that a lot of their regulars maybe get a game off that weekend. Maybe a guy gets two, but I'm with you. You can't not play those. You know, you can't not play those guys because they're the 4 days off there kind of works against you if you give players a rest. So tonight we got Logan Webb versus Ian Anderson. Let me ask you this, JD. And I know there's a million different circumstances, but let's just say hypothetically that the Giants. I was gonna say who pitches the first playoff game who pitches the first, you know, the wild card game, if that's what it is. And I was like, well, you can't even play that game. You can't play. I was like, who would you pitch, Gausman or Webb? Well, you can't even play that game because you got to know what's happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday beforehand, right?
I think Logan Webb's going to ultimately be in line to pitch the wild card game with the way that they're going to do it, because they have the ability, and I mentioned this earlier, to push it to where it could basically be Webb, DeSclafani, Gausman in the final three games against the Padres. If Logan Webb pitches the opener on Friday, October the 1st, his normal turn would be the wild card game on Wednesday the 6th, his normal next turn. And I think that, to me, that's the most efficient way to do it, is, you know, get those three in the final three against a really good Padres team, and then know that you've got Webb, and basically you've got the other two in relief too, if need be, for the wild card game. The only problem with that is if you wind up playing Monday in a tiebreaker game, and then you maybe don't have any of those three available. But I just don't think you can hold somebody back from the weekend on the off chance that you need to play Monday, because that's a good way to not be playing Monday at all.
Exactly. And this is really interesting, because there's so many moving parts. And, you know, here's the other thing. If for whatever reason, let's say the Dodgers stay hot and the Giants stub their toe a little bit, and now you're going into the final weekend and the Dodgers are up two games on the Giants, you know, at that point, you got to start thinking wild card. You know, it's setting up your pitching for the wild card. And then all of a sudden, maybe you win two games. Dodgers lose those last two games, and now you're tied. And you got to win the last game to maybe tie the Dodgers because you can still win the division. So it's so intriguing.
The one thing you could also do in that scenario that I laid out where you order it where Webb, DeSclafani, and Gausman are set to pitch the final three, in that situation that you're talking about where maybe you wind up two games out with one to play, at that point you could hold, if you wanted to, you could hold Gausman back at that point and then not pitch it. Like if the Sunday game doesn't mean anything, you could not pitch him Sunday to make him eligible for the wild card game. And I think you would do that at that point once you were locked in. So there is some flexibility, but you can't just plan ahead. Like you just can't plan right. It out. And you're going to be close enough if you're the Giants to where you're going to have to decide how you want to play it. And for the most part, really up until maybe the final day of the regular season, play it out. And let the chips fall where they may. And if and you're trying to win, the hope is that you're trying to win games with your main guys as much as possible. And it all adds up to you don't have to play Monday, you don't have to play Wednesday, because if you do that, everybody's available. Everybody can go 1, 2, 3. Like if you win the division, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Who pitched the final three games. Even the guy that pitches Sunday could come back and pitch game one on normal rest on Friday, assuming you don't have to play at any point in between.
All right, well, maybe this is an easy question, but let's now take the best case scenario, which you just laid out. The Giants win the division. Doesn't matter how they finished on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Are you starting Webb over Gausman in game one against either the Dodgers or the team that beats the Dodgers?
Yeah, right now, Logan Webb would be game one.
I mean, do you think, and you think that's where Kapler and the Giants are for sure?
I do. I think if Logan Webb goes out and stinks in his final, you know, three or four starts, you know, maybe that changes things. But I don't. You know, I wouldn't anticipate
right.
that, and it depends on, you know, how does DeSclafani look? How does God? You know, I don't think they would pitch DeSclafani. He's going to pitch against the Dodgers. He wouldn't pitch one of the first two games unless it's just by default he has to, because they have to play in the wild card. Because whoever pitches if you play the wild card game, whoever starts the wild card game, assuming you go with a traditional starter, they're locked into game three. At
right.
that point, like if you
right.
start, so if you have to use Logan Webb in the wild card game, then Logan Webb's next starts game three of the division series if you win it. So at that point, decision's made for you. You're going Gausman, DeSclafani, Webb, and then, you know, you figure out how you get through game four and game five.
But
you've got some options.
But under that scenario, then wouldn't you only get Webb once against the Dodgers?
And that's the penalty, though.
Jeez.
That's the penalty for making the wild card game. And
that's right.
That was by design, the fact that your wild card pitcher, and the Giants faced this a couple of times. The Giants faced this in 14 and in 16, where Madison Bumgarner, they won the wild card game, but then he pitched game three, and against the Nationals, it didn't matter because he actually even lost game three against the Nationals. The Giants still won the series 3-1. That was the only game they lost. People forget that was Bumgarner's start against Washington in the division series. And then against the Cubs, he didn't pitch well. Jake Arrieta hit a home run against him. And they ultimately, that was the long extra inning game that the Giants won to keep themselves alive before they melted down the next night in the ninth inning. And the Cubs wound up knocking them out.
Right. Hey, I know how DeSclafani's going to pitch. He's going to pitch like Bill Swift. That's how he's going to pitch, JD. All right,
Swift a little more three-quarter. A little more three-quarter for Swift.
Yeah, a little bit. You sent me the side-by-side, so we broke it down. All right, on the other side, Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group. He is in West Virginia. I got to believe he's set to depart to Philadelphia. Maybe he's already on his way.
Sources say he is on a major highway. He has crossed into Virginia as Cam Inman, professional bootlegger.
Nice.
I'm gonna go
Google Greenbrier to Philly, and I'll be able to tell where they are. But Cam Inman on the other side. A lot of 49ers news we're gonna get to on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
All righty, JD is in for Guru and Dibs today, but that doesn't mean the show stops. And we're joined by Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group, covers the San Francisco 49ers, also 95.7 The Game's NFL insider. And here's how I'm going to start this. All right, I know that. The team was at the Greenbrier. I know that they're playing in Philadelphia. I see it's about a six-hour drive, and I'm going to say right now Cam Inman is in Harrisonburg, Virginia, the home of James Madison University. That's my guess.
Clifton
right?
Forge. Clifton Forge, Virginia. Cut through some forest right now.
Okay.
So we have not hit James Madison University, which you well know is I believe Charles Haley is a product of Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Charles Haley.
Okay. Yeah. It was also the school that I was going to say. You know, Ralph Sampson actually almost went to James Madison, but I digress. All right. You talked to Kyle Shanahan before the team, and you left. What were like the biggest pieces of news, would you say, for 49er fans coming out of West Virginia this week?
Yeah, I think the biggest, like this week, it's just been a trepidation about their health again, just because Raheem Mostert opts for season-ending knee surgery a couple days after the game, and then a couple days after that, Drake Greenlaw finds out he has to have surgery on a groin core muscle injury that he tried to work his way through in camp. And so there's kind of this, none of the players want to redo 2020 again when everybody got hurt. And Kyle Juszczyk kind of talked about that after the game today, saying there really isn't that feeling of despair that there was last year when all the injuries happened after week two. And that's probably because the quarterback was involved. And right now, the 49ers are two healthy quarterbacks. And for the most part, I mean, they are relatively healthy. I mean, it's football. There's going to be attrition. And, you know, they drafted two running backs because they knew Mostert might not last. And they drafted two cornerbacks because Jason Brett might not last. And at linebacker, they have some depth there. So there's not, like, a tremendous amount of despair in the air. But they were just, I mean, it's pretty remote where the Greenbrier is in West Virginia. And so it's not like they were going out and about and in the public talking about things. If they were embedded and they were getting through it, and they're heading to Philly tomorrow.
Cam, how much would a loss on Sunday maybe change that temperament with respect to the injuries? Because it feels like to me, if they get the win, it's all right. They're 2-0. They're kind of overcoming it and they push through. But if they wind up, you know, not being able to pull that game out on Sunday, it's almost, all right, 1-1 and not the team that they had at the beginning of the year that they thought they were going to have for a good chunk of the year.
Yeah, JD, I think that only matters if there's a bunch more injuries after this, if the injuries contribute to the loss. I mean, if it's a loss, it would be surprising because they're still a much more talented team than the Philadelphia Eagles, who have a whole new coaching staff and new schemes and a younger quarterback. The Niners are still far and away the better team. So if they lose, it's just kind of like, uh-oh, you know, there are issues with the team. But the health excuse probably is not going to happen. So, yeah.
Cam Inman joining us on 95.7 The Game, Bay Area News Group 49ers reporter. You know, some of the things you just look at, you look at Jalen Hurts, who's pretty mobile. You look at the Philly wide receivers, Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor, two young players. 49ers secondary is a little banged up. You got a defensive line for the Eagles that's very good, and the 49ers are missing Mostert. Could you make a case this is a bad matchup for San Francisco?
No, I wouldn't say that. Are you an Eagles fan, Matt?
No, not at all, actually.
What were you growing up?
I was an Eagles fan growing up.
Yeah,
hey,
you're, not
hey
yes,
it's not just it. Me. It's not just me. My man JD doesn't think it's a great matchup for the Niners.
Well, they do have a couple of really good young wide receivers. I like those guys. And Hurts, the mobile quarterback drama that, you know, for years now with this defense, they've had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. But you can counter that by saying they're at full strength on the defensive line. Kinlaw and Armstead are questionable, but Armstead will play. I'm not so sure about Kinlaw, but you have a lot of defensive ends that are healthy. That those are the guys that need button it up so that Jalen Hurts doesn't break outside on you and find those wide receivers downfield. I'm not too concerned about the cornerback situation. I mean, the way the league's set up is all cornerbacks are going to get burnt, so you better have a really good defensive front, and that's what the Niners still have. Nick Bosa is healthy. Anytime that's the case, I'm going to side with the Niners defense against almost everybody. And then offensively, you know, they put up a ton of points on a bad Detroit team, yes, but that offense was flowing really well from the start. They have capable running backs. They have a great running back system, scheme, and that offensive line is the best-looking offensive line I've seen in probably 10 years with the Niners.
All right, so let me get this straight, if I can characterize correctly. Even if it's not a great matchup in your mind, the talent gap is wide enough that the 49ers can overcome it.
I don't think there's too much of it. The issue I'm just a little concerned about is, you know, they go on this East Coast back-to-back thing, and they've done this repeatedly so that their body clocks are fine. And I get all that, and but at the same time, this is a team that was away from home for like the last 5 weeks of last season. They were in L.A. for 5 days. It's just like, I wonder what the emotional pull has on these guys, if they're just fatigued of being of traveling and not being, you know, they're the traveling salesman, whether that may come into play at all. And it's the Eagles' home opener under a new coach, so there's going to be a lot more passion in the stand that they're going to have to overcome.
Uh-oh.
What, Cam? Give us your feel. You're not as concerned about the corner spot.
Right.
Mosley, I know he's officially doubtful. I mean, who are we going to see a lot of there on Sunday if Mosley's out?
If you want people to like throw their radios out the window right now or turn the channel, I would say Dante Johnson. But I'm not going to do that. I think it'll be Josh Norman, and I believe it'll be Diamador Lenore again. I mean, Diamador Lenore played like 90 snaps in his debut, and he did pretty well. He was only targeted once, and he's expecting to get targeted more often. But I think this could be the Josh Norman debut of 49er. I think he's probably the better option at cornerback than Dante Johnson, even though he's only been with the team for about 2 weeks. Dre Kirkpatrick is a guy they can bring up. He just signed this week onto the practice squad, but I doubt that would happen. Unless there's another injury. I don't think Mosley's playing at all. He didn't practice the last 2 weeks, so you don't plug a guy in right away to do that. So, but you do have, you know, your veteran safeties back there and a good pass rush. And like I said, I think they're going to get to Jalen Hurts as fast as they can, and they know he's – folks had a really good comment about this yesterday, saying he's not like Kyler Murray, because Kyler Murray looks to run. Jalen Hurts uses mobility to try to make, you know, try to get the pass off, which is something Russell Wilson does really well, which causes problems, but he's not anywhere near Russell Wilson's level yet.
Right. Hey, Cam, Trey Lance played 4 plays last week against Detroit, 3 runs in that 5-yard touchdown pass. About the same, a little more or a little less, do you think the 49ers will use him Sunday?
Well, I almost want to say a little more, because 4 was pretty minimal. And they didn't put him in good situations with those runs. But they, when they did use him in that first drive and he threw the touchdown pass, it was used to perfection. And it just seems like when Garoppolo's cooking and is hot like he was at the start of that game, then you don't mess with that rhythm as much. And you kind of ride it out with Jimmy. He didn't have any interceptions. They said this was the best game he's played in terms of his ability to make reads and find the right guy. And that goes a long way in keeping your job and keeping the rookie on the sideline for as much limited usage as possible.
Hey, real quick, Cam, I want you to hang around for a sec. Spadone, I know you're in the middle of a burrito. No. You know, Cam is becoming a fixture on our show. I don't know if you know this or not, Cam, but you did something yesterday that we got a little humor out of, and here's how I'll set it up.
Okay,
Spadone, you ready? Okay, this is last week. All right, here we go. Hey, Cam, is Matt Steinmetz the best Bay Area radio guy?
Yeah, well, yeah.
That was you from last week. And I forget the question, but now you can use we can use that as an answer to any question I ask.
Yeah, well, yeah. Good. I'd vouch for you, Matt. Absolutely.
All right. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I love having you part of the show, and I'm just keeping you involved even when you're not on. So there you go, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Hey, listen, get to Philadelphia safe and have yourself a cheesesteak on me, buddy.
Hey, what's your favorite shop?
It's probably Pat's.
Did you know there was a big fight there? I'm not going to Pat's. There was a big fight there yesterday night. Somebody died, so I'll be avoiding the Pat's Geno area. I may stick with Jim's yeah. Steaks.
That's called a Thursday night, Cam, in Philly, by the way.
All right. Yeah, all right.
See you, Cam.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. Cam Inman on his way to Philadelphia. So there you go.
I would have had Cam getting around to golf in before he drove to Philadelphia.
Especially at that place. I mean, I wonder if that course has a champion. That place has a championship course. You know what, though? He probably didn't want to take his clubs on a trip like that. Although they had a whole week off.
A 10-day trip.
That's right. That's
could have played a couple of times.
Do you know what the green fees are at the Greenbrier?
Let me guess.
Probably a lot.
Well, it's West Virginia. I like to think about this now. It's going to be a lot, but it is West Virginia. I'm going to say $375.
JD, do you have a guess?
I'm going to say $376.
All right, by Price is Right rules, JD is the winner. $400 for a round of golf at the Greenbrier.
I once paid $500 for a round of golf.
Oh, my God. Where?
I got a little schnookered, as they say. I played the Wynn Golf Course in Vegas. I was asked to play it by a gentleman, and I kind of assumed he was going to pick it up. You know, because I didn't really know how much it was. I said, I'll play golf with you. And,
that's you know. Messed up that Joe Lacob would do that to you.
Yeah, it wasn't him. But, yeah, that was a major bag loss event for sure. Hey, you know, the funny thing about Cam is, like, he sounds optimistic about Kinlaw. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, if he knows more than us, but I don't know. It just kind of feels like they might be still not quite right, but we'll see.
Well, and if he is right, for how long is he going to be right? I think is the other part of it. I think he is clearly, though, I think ahead of Mosley because he was able to get out there in some form the last couple of days. But the Niners typically are very careful with everybody, especially early in the season. So, I'm with you. I mean, Cam has a better feel for it from being around it every day. But my gut would say no Kinlaw, no Mosley, both on Sunday.
Yeah, I'd say no Mosley. I don't know. I don't know about Kinlaw. It sounds like it's going to be a decision, you know, obviously made closer to game time. But we'll see if Javon Kinlaw plays, the 49ers' second-year lineman. Eagles, 49ers, 10 a.m. start on Sunday morning here in the Bay. Trey Lance, again, four plays last week against Detroit. I think he's going to play more. I don't think a lot more, but my guesstimate is 6 to 8 plays. But the one thing that kind of confused me, JD, and I get when they put Trey Lance on the field, there's more of an opportunity for an explosive play, and I think particularly an explosive run by him. So I understand putting him in to sometimes run a basic play, And maybe you can fool the defense that way. But I was kind of surprised that all three of the running plays just, I don't know, they got to give him a little more responsibility in this game if they're going to use him 6 to 8 times. You know what I mean? To me, they almost just put him on the field just to get him on the field. Hey, hand the ball off 3 times, and then we're going to devise this play where you got to throw, you know, a 5-yard out to Sherfield, and that's an easy one to judge whether he's covered or not. You know what I mean? It felt like they just gave him some basics to kind of get out of the way.
Yeah, and I think it's also put a few basics on film for other teams too, and let's see how far you can do that to a point where maybe the opposition is thinking, okay, he's on the field, it is going to be one of these couple of plays, and then a team will sell out for that, and you hit them with something else. So I think it's a constant chess match week to week, in addition to trying to get Trey Lance comfortable enough in his own skin to be able to maybe do more with him as things go on.
Yeah. And Jalen Hurts on the other side, you know, I know the 49ers have a, you know, the perception is they struggle with running quarterbacks. I think they do to some degree.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I don't know how serious of an issue it is, but let me ask you this. The 49ers have a heck of a defensive line. Is the worry, I mean, is the reason that maybe they struggle against those kind of quarterbacks is because they do have a pass rush and that might lead to elusive plays from a quarterback? Is there anything you could like pinpoint other than, hey, mobile quarterbacks are tough to defend?
Well, they are tough to defend, but I think a lot of it is if you rush, the quarterback can escape. And if you rush, you got to get them. Like when you have opportunity, I mean, how often do we see that with Russell Wilson, where you get back there and he's able to escape, and then once he escapes, you've got a bunch of defenders that are all around him. So in a way, he's got numbers. He makes, you know, he takes off, he makes somebody miss, and all of a sudden, he's got a big gain for himself. So I think it's aggressive. You know, teams that are really trying to you gotta be aggressive, but you gotta contain as you're being aggressive and getting to him. It's a different kind of a rush for that type of a quarterback than it would be against a guy that you know where he's going to be when he's standing in the pocket.
Right. The other thing Cam said that I thought was kind of interesting, and it was a throwaway line, but he said, you know what, the 49ers still are very relatively, they're still pretty healthy compared with, what happened the first couple games last year. I got to believe, compared to last year, with all due respect, losing Mostert and Verrett, it's not as wind out of sails as Garoppolo and Bosa. You know what I mean? I think they know they're good enough to overcome those two injuries, at least at this point.
Well, and yeah, I mean, to me, it was at least from Cam, it was, hey, it shouldn't matter at this point.
Right.
Like, you should still go win this game, like, regardless. And no, I know, I think Philly is a more formidable opponent than Cam does. And I think you agree with that. But to me, it's not that you can't overcome it as much, feeling down. It's week two, and we're already down three starters. What's it going to look like by week seven? How many guys? And it's not guys that are coming back. It's guys that aren't coming back in large part.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about there. If the Eagles win 28-20 on Sunday and their secondary, let's say, torches their secondary, a quarterback like Hurts, then it is like, I get you, now you're going into the Packers. You've seen now maybe, Verrett's injury does hurt us a little bit, and we're missing Mosley again, and Mosley might not even come back for the Packers. And here comes Aaron Rodgers. I could see how there's a big difference whether you win or lose, how you're coming into that Packers game. So from that point, I definitely get what you're saying.
Well, and look, Aaron Rodgers, we can say what we want about him, but he makes his living picking on dudes that are, the Dante Johnsons of the world and rookies that maybe aren't quite there yet, like Lenore, if he isn't quite there yet, and dudes that might be closer to washed than Pro Bowlers and Josh Norman at this stage. Like we can quibble about Aaron Rodgers' ability to lead this Packers team to a Super Bowl this season, but that doesn't mean that he can't go out there against an undermanned secondary and expose it. He's made his career exposing teams that aren't quite buttoned up to play against him and at full strength.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That's next week. Week, though.
Of course.
I want to do. I did a little of that earlier. I'm not going to do
here's
that.
Here's the the thing about the Packers is if they go into in Detroit, I think it's in Green Bay. Anyway, I fully anticipate Green Bay winning, but even if they win 35-10, I will not be like, oh, they're fine, because I'm sorry, I just don't think that goes away. I just don't. Here's the one thing I was going to ask you. One of the things that's happening with Ayuk, or happened with Ayuk week one, is he kind of pays the price for the 49ers not using three wide receivers. I mean, is there any chance, Ayuk, how do I want to put this? Is there any way, Ayuk, the receiving corps is good enough that Kyle Shanahan uses three receivers more than normal? Or is he pretty much married to the two wide receivers and the fullback?
Possibly, but he does like using two tight ends, and he does like using a fullback with a tight end. So that limits the ability to do that. So I think it's, if you're going to put two running backs out there, it's the five eligibles, right? So if you're going to put two running backs and a tight end, then you can only have two wide receivers. If you're going to put two tight ends and a running back, then you can only have two wide receivers. So I think that's actually an under-discussed reason why, and Shanahan mentioned it, but an under-discussed reason why the snaps were more split and why he used the term rotate. Because he was, in his mind, he's viewing it at, like we're viewing it as, wait a minute, you put them all out there. Exactly. In his mind, he's thinking, in my game plan for this week, the plays we're going to run, it's either or. Yeah. And so it does wind up being a split.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. On the other side, Elliot Shore Parks. He's an Odyssey NFL insider based out of Philly. He knows all about the Eagles. We're going to talk to him on the other side. And then Quentin Mayo, talk a little lock of the week, et cetera. Major bag alert. We'll talk to him at 1:20. But again, on the other side, Elliot Shore Parks. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. He knows the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's all sponsored by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's MIMECAST.com.
Oh, my God.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
Hey, don't forget to download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game to get breaking news updates, as well as links to the top interviews and best moments on The Game, powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. All right, on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Elliot Shore Parks. Insider calls are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000. Enter now by texting PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357. That's PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357. Elliot, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And let's jump in right to Sunday's game. For whatever reason, it feels like the Eagles didn't have a lot of expectations coming into this year. But after week one, maybe people are reassessing how good this team could be. Is that fair?
Yeah, and thanks for having me on. I mean, the Eagles are an interesting team coming into this season because you look at last year, and they had a ton of injuries. I think they started the most offensive line combinations in the NFL last year. They were up there in terms of most combinations in league history. So they were starting new people on the offensive line every week, and as we all know, that is not a way to have a good football team. You need continuity up front. And in their defensive line, they had injuries as well. So I think when you look at the core of their team last year, combined with the fact that they got the worst quarterback play in the NFL from Carson Wentz, it's understandable why people would be skeptical about the team. But the reality is, when they're healthy, they have a very good offensive line. They have a very good defensive line. And as we saw last week in Atlanta, Jalen Hurts looks like a much improved player. So, you know, I think I agree with you. The expectations for this team coming into the season were not high, but I think those expectations were wrong. I think this Eagles team is a very good team.
And what's your sense for just kind of the pulse of just the excitement level of having a team, you know, going up against the Eagles that believes they have the capability of getting to a Super Bowl in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think people view this as a good test for the Eagles. You look at last week playing in Atlanta. Atlanta is certainly not going to be one of the better teams in the league after seeing them in person. You know, I could have told you that beforehand, but seeing them in person, I can tell you the Falcons are not going to be a good team. So, look, it was a game they dominated. They won by 26 points. It's what you're supposed to do when you play a bad team. So I think people here in Philadelphia and in the Eagles building as well are excited to see this team against a Niners team that, as you mentioned, is, I don't know if they're Super Bowl contenders, but they are certainly among the better teams in the conference. So it'll be a good barometer for the Eagles.
Elliot Shore Parks joining us. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. Elliot, let me ask you a little bit about Jalen Hurts, because the mobile quarterback is something we hear so much about. But, you know, there's different kinds of mobile quarterbacks. You got a guy like Josh Allen, let's say, in Buffalo, who can extend a play and get a first down. You got a Kyler Murray. You got Lamar Jackson, who runs a ton. Russell Wilson. What kind of quarterback is Jalen Hurts at this point?
Yeah, he's a deceivingly good runner, I'll say that. I mean, you know, one quarterback I think I would compare him to, he's kind of like a faster Dak Prescott. He knows how to. It's not his first choice. He does not want to run the ball. They will use him in design runs. I think he actually throws a very nice accurate ball. I think one thing people kind of
got wrong about him coming out of the draft is his ability to throw the ball. He completed over 70% of his passes last week. He throws a nice catchable ball. He hits guys in stride so that they can, you know, get yards after the catch. But as a runner, I think he's very dangerous. I mean, they like to use him in design run. He knows how to get down. He's a strong guy. Obviously, no runner is like Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson is not a strong runner. He's a quick runner. Jalen Hurts will plow into you if he has to get that extra yardage. So he's definitely a weapon on the ground for the Eagles.
Elliot, you mentioned, you know, about the 49ers. Maybe not quite Super Bowl contenders. What's the outside view on them? Because out here it is, oh yeah, they're Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, the Niners are an interesting team to me because I think if you asked me to list, head coaches I would like to start my franchise with, Kyle Shanahan would be up there. And I think there's a lot of things to like about the 49ers. But in 4 years, they've had a losing record in three of them, and they've not just been losing records. They've been, you know, really bad records. Last year, the Eagles were one of the most dysfunctional teams I've ever covered, and they went into San Francisco and won. Now, I know injuries play a huge part of that. Don't get me wrong. I know Garoppolo's not been out there. I believe Bosa didn't play last year against the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. But the track record just is not there for the Niners. So I think they're an interesting team in that regard because there's a lot to like about them, but the actual record does not back up a team that you would look at and say, okay, this is a team that I think can be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, Doug Peterson schnookered us last year going into that game. I remember he said the 49ers have two starting quarterbacks, and he was referring to Nick Mullins, who ended up being horrible in that game.
Yeah.
I remember.
I mean, look, Mullins was here in Philly for the preseason, so I got a chance to see Mullins up close and personal, and look, as a backup, he's fine, but yeah, I don't think that's who you want for your starting quarterback for a full year.
Hey, Nick Sirianni, kind of an interesting opening, job press conference, but he wins week one. What's the early returns on him?
I've been impressed by what I've seen, and I've covered the Eagles and been in Philly for 10 years now, covering the league, and this is now my fourth head coach, so. I've seen them come and go in Philadelphia, and I think Sirianni is one of the more impressive ones. Now, obviously, Doug won the Super Bowl, so clearly that's a high bar. But Sirianni, to me, seems like a much better X's and O's guy than Doug was. I think he's a really, really sharp football mind. You saw that last week with his game plan against Atlanta. And to his credit, so far, he's done a good job, it seems, getting the team to rally around him. So the introductory press conference was not great. You're right. He uses that as motivation. He brings it up in team meetings about how guys have to move on from, bad moments in their career, bad play, bad press conference, however you might say it. So, his introductory was not great, but so far, and as you saw last week in Atlanta, he won his first game by 26 points, and that's a more important introduction than his introduction press conference.
Devontae Smith, hell of a debut. I mean, what is the ceiling for him? I mean, the Eagles have got to be feeling like they got a special player there.
Yeah, I think he can be one of the best receivers in the league. I think a lot was made of the fact that he's a little undersized at 166 pounds, but seeing him in person, he's not a small guy. He's definitely skinny, but he has long arms. He's not short, and, he's just an excellent route runner. And I think sometimes that gets overlooked in the draft process. People focus so much on height, weight, speed, those type of things. Devontae is just a really good football player. He knows how to create separation, and, the fact he is undersized, cornerbacks can't get their hands on him. He's very good at winning at the line of scrimmage. And I think he has, the sky's the limit for him. I think, the Eagles have missed on a lot of receivers here in Philadelphia. They missed on Justin Jefferson last year. They missed on DK Metcalf. But I think that they got it right with Devontae.
Hey, real quick, you expect a zoo at Lincoln Financial on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is all around the league, right? You're seeing this. But this will be the first game in Philadelphia with a sold-out crowd. Since 2019. I think they had fans for a little bit at one point last year, but it was only 5,000 or 6,000 fans. And I'll say, look, between two teams that I believe are very evenly matched, I think that could be the difference. I think the Niners face a really tough task coming into Philadelphia for the first game with fans back.
Hey, Elliot, thank you so much for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All righty, that's Elliot Shore Parks.
Evenly matched.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. That was Elliot Shore Parks. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000. Enter now by texting PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357. That's picks to 20357. Yeah, he kind of threw that in at the end. It did surprise me a little, calling them evenly matched. Interesting.
I think
sometimes. And yet the Niners go in as a favorite.
Yeah, well, the Niners should be the favorite, I mean, going into this game. But I think it's interesting how, you know, our perception of the 49ers is often very different than not even the national perception, but just the perception in individual cities about
right.
the 49ers. Like I think, like we speak of the Niners, and I think, and I've said this before, the 49ers carry themselves kind of like they're the Warriors in a way. Like they've done stuff, right? Like they've had all this success, and they've got this culture, and they really haven't in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, locally, like we tend to give them the benefit of the doubt for how they've operated. And look, there's a story behind it. I think national are enough people that are high on Kyle Shanahan and certainly John Lynch to where the 49ers get the benefit of the doubt there. But I think when you get into, you know, other teams, media, and they see that team on the schedule and that team's coming in, I feel like just around the league in that respect, not that it really matters, but I think that the opinion of the Niners is, yeah, they had one good year. They had one good year a couple years ago where everything, kind of like the Giants, you know, this year. Like, yeah,
right.
They're having a great year, but
I got you
know,
you.
Nobody expected it, and they haven't really backed it up since.
No, I got you. That's why I always like to nail down what exactly we're talking about and in terms of expectations. So the San Francisco 49ers, are they Super Bowl favorites? No. Are they Super Bowl contenders? That means, will they contend to make the Super Bowl? To me, that's a reach. That's a reach.
Ooh.
Okay. Are they a playoff team? Okay. If they're a playoff team, are they a division winner or are they a wild card team? Because all that stuff matters. And the bottom line is, heading into the playoffs, if you don't win the division, you're just behind the eight ball right away. I mean, it's such an...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.